Tuesday, June 17th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Gathering Sheep, Driving Away Wolves.
Your involvement in the kingdom comes with a serious warfare over truth. Calvin once said, the pastor ought to have two voices, one for gathering the sheep and another for driving away wolves. Beware, says Jesus, of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Where are you being led?
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
How is it you can't observe and discern the sign of the times? He's it. He's the sign everywhere that the kingdom of God has come. You're here, aren't you? You're worshiping, aren't you? I've said a million times in this pulpit, you couldn't make this up. You see, among those of no faith, no matter how great the experience, they have no ability to believe in Him. They have no ability to believe in Him. Now that leads us to the great moment here. That leads us to the great moment here of Christ with the disciples. You'll notice here, Jesus is done with these guys. He's done with them. There is a definitive break in this passage where He essentially wants no more to do with them. It says that. It's very important. He left them and departed. He had just given the final blow. Now, in verse 5, I want you to notice what happens. It's a very important connection that I think you could miss. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Clearly, Matthew is capturing how worried they are about this. Why would you say that, right? We're hungry. We're hungry. I mean, hope my sermon doesn't go too long today, because I know you're going to be hungry. It's deja vu, isn't it? The Lord is so patient with these guys, but they had just witnessed two feedings, right? They had witnessed a feeding of 5,000 in the wilderness, and multiple baskets, the bread just kept coming from a couple loaves and fish. And then they witnessed another feeding with the 4,000, and Jesus knows they're deeply burdened about this. And so notice that Matthew captures a great contrast here. He knows they're panicked about bread, worried about bread. And right after this, notice what he says. Watch, Jesus said, therefore, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What we have captured here is a real glimpse into the character and mind of our Lord. How something is radically different, this is the point, that is burdening Him, as opposed to what's burdening the disciples. I think He's righteously angry here. I think He's stirred up here. He's deeply concerned about their leaven. Leaven had a long history in Israel. When they came out, they were not to leaven the bread, remember, to be ready to go. Because, you know, that takes a long time it's a whole process, my wife tells me. I have no idea. I've never tried that and never will. But you're not waiting around for that, the leaven. You go. You be ready to go. And then elsewhere, it became sort of a proverbial caution for anything that was evil or wicked. But I don't know if that's quite the contrast here. I want you to notice this in verse 7. They began discussing what he said. Watch for the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They begin discussing it among themselves. It's because we brought no bread. What is he talking about? Well, clearly in verse 12, it ends with saying to us that Jesus was concerned about the teaching, the doctrine of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. What was Jesus' great concern? What in his pastoral shepherding did he really want them to understand? What was on the heart of our good shepherd? Namely, this is what they were running up against. That their greatest danger in the Christian life and their greatest danger in Christian ministry is false teaching. What was their whole ministry of the Sadducees and the Pharisees? It was one of entire opposition because of their man-made tradition to people coming to Christ for mercy. So roadblocks were being put up everywhere. They set up the entire tradition of the elders that stood in the way, and all they did was oppose him. You see, beloved, from Jesus' perspective, this is the greatest threat to Christianity. Right here. And his purpose in coming to this earth. It's false teaching. It's false doctrine. It's the kind of stuff exposed in this test, that in this text, that give us a sign. Sign seekers. The devil was always working to pull people away from Christ into the kind of religion that's been exposed in Matthew. Now listen, that was just external. Keeping of the rules. And it made them entirely careless about the needs of people. And what did Jesus come for? Save people. The entire purpose of Christ was undermined by these groups. For the needy and the broken. You know? This is why I said, it's sometimes so important to how do we look at if Jesus could have compassion on the multitudes, how do we look at the people bumbling around on the street, drug, addicted, loss of their lives, ruin their lives? You understand now what he's up against. You understand what he's reacting against. It so burdened Paul when he left the church in Ephesus that he said, listen, they were worried about this all the time. After my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after themselves. That's what the Pharisees were doing all the time. They weren't creating disciples of the Lord. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease day and night to admonish you, every one of you, with tears. He was so burdened by this. Here's the great contrast among the sheep. What did the disciples say right after this concern? Beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. It's as if they can't even hear him. Because all that's on their minds are what? Their hunger. Is he saying this because we brought no bread? They think their biggest problem is the lack of bread. In other words, it's the mundane things of life that most concern us. We have come to think, and I'm just as guilty. Listen, this is a sermon I preach to myself, I promise. We have come to think that life is just about our present comforts, our present needs. And like the Pharisees, we're more concerned often about the weather than the kingdom of God. And our creaturely comforts are what are driving life. And yet Jesus' greatest concern here is false doctrine. He is most concerned for them and their children to keep them in the truth of the gospel. And on their minds are not heavenly things, but earthly things. And Jesus, aware of this, says, oh, you of little faith. Are you discussing among yourselves the fact you have no bread? I think I wish I could have heard it. It would have sounded something like this. Are you kidding? Are you serious? You're still worried about that? Don't you remember the the loaves for the 5,000? Don't you remember how many baskets you gathered? And then how many you gathered for the 4,000? Are you kidding me? Haven't you learned anything yet? These are not the things that should concern you. Now, apply the Sermon on the Mount for a minute. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat. Plays out, right? What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. I mean, I just saw one fly right now. It's out there getting its meal. You ever seen those guys? Comes out a big worm. How did they see that? They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by being anxious, listen to this, what are we all trying to hold on to? Life. I get it. Which of you, by all your anxieties and worry about your bodies and sickness and all these things, I do it all the time, adds a single hour to your life? You don't add a single hour to it. And yet, we spend most of our life worrying about these things. How am I going to retire? Or how much money will I have? I think the more you have, the more you worry about it. What am I going to do tomorrow? Buy and sell. As if some sort of pursuit that we have will actually create, once we get there, the calmness we think we can create in life, of the comforts and self-interest that will achieve that. What do we spend most of our life worrying about? My dad on his deathbed said, Chris, I regret certain things in life. He says, and he trusted Christ. He knew he was forgiven. He goes, I regret, it's interesting what he said to me, I regret most of my life worrying so much about money. This will sting a bit. I had David Bonson on AGR, Abounding Grace, the other day. He's one of the top 200 financial advisors in the nation, the Bonson Group. He's got offices all over the nation. He's written a book called Full Time, Work and the Meaning of Life. And he says, here's what our society has programmed us to think like. This is what he wants to take down. We're programmed to view life as we work hard for the first half of our lives so that we finally achieve a financial number. And once we achieve the financial number, we aim for a 30-year vacation. He says, the goal of life has become a monetary one, so that many think they can just go and golf the rest of their life. It's hard for us, but what he wants to do is recapture the biblical creational design that God created us to be productive and to be active in life, in work, for who? The good of society, the good of others. Now, my point with that is just to raise this. That's why you say, what do people say? We retire from something to something, right? We store active as people made in God's image. But here's the purpose here. Here's what Jesus is doing here. Haven't you yet learned that I'm going to care for you for all these things and all these things? Haven't you yet learned that? I'm going to care for you. That's my commitment. That's what he's saying. But your worrying about all these things demonstrates little faith. So what are we worried about? You see how worrying about this stuff stifles what's most important in our life. Worrying about self-interests, listen, they could If we heard Jesus here, do not worry these things. Here's what he's done. He's released you from the burden. This is so gracious gospel's announcement today. He's essentially saying, I got you. I've got you. I'll take that burden. It's over for you. Have faith in that. He wants dependence on him. How much time do we give to the things of this life? I will provide. And you see the point. When we're worried incessantly about all the things, our own self-interest, faith is obscured, weakened this way. And the point is, when we give our energy to all the worries of this life, we miss what's most important. That's why I raise it with our children. See how important it is and how we train our children in this. Over the years, too many parents, and I say this again to myself, our priorities with my children were all wrong. We're going to make our children the best MLB baseball player, and we're going to devote all our time to sports to make that. You know the fraction, the percents of people who actually make it? Jesus is deeply concerned, isn't he so wonderful, about anything and ideas that would carry you and your children away to hell, and you're not. And you're not. But he is. And he loves you that much. And he loves your children that much. Isn't he wonderful? We need this. Your involvement in the kingdom comes with a serious warfare over truth. Notice, watch and beware. It's just like watch and pray, but we don't really get this one quoted that much. Watch and beware means that requires from us to be a people seriously committed to the scriptures, to the book, to know the truth, to advance in the truth, to study the truth, and understand what's pulling you and your children away from it. I get it. Most of us are concerned about good things for our families. That, ironically, it's often that we have good food and that we're clothed well for the weather and how much time for that. But we forget that we are involved in a divine mission here, a divine purpose here that drove Christ to the cross to keep people from error and to call people to come to him for eternal life. That's the mission. Much of the mission of the church, as we witness this, has been somewhat weak on this point because of the challenge of the self-interest. So Christianity, beloved, is one of truth claim. People who are called to be thinkers, studiers, commitment to doctrine, which isn't it sad that that's a bad word in our day? If our lives are filled with worries of the things of this life and we cruise in and out on Sunday with no commitment to that truth, how would we be any different from the Pharisees who are only really concerned about the weather? But there's a direct tie here to faith. And I want you to see here in this that as convicting as this is, trust me, it's convicting, Jesus' intention is to relieve the burden in your life. That's how good he is. That's why this is so saturated with the gospel. They finally get it in verse 12. Then, click, after this long chapter, they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching, the doctrine of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And boom, it ends. The section ends. The light went on. That's how much discipleship took with Jesus to train them in priorities. As convicting as this is today to close, aren't you thankful for Christ's commitment this way? What a good shepherd. What a good shepherd. Calvin once said, the pastor ought to have two voices, one for gathering the sheep and another for driving away wolves. He would let nothing stand in the way of delivering you and your children. and taking this gospel to the ends of the earth. Beware, says Jesus, of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Where are you being led? And so the great application to the sermon today is to see what matters most to your good shepherd. Join that program. Be a people committed to his truth. It is warfare. But it's about this. What would have happened to that Canaanite woman if Jesus let the doctrine of the Sadducees and the Pharisees prevail in Israel? She'd have been lost forever. Jesus saved her, and he would not let them get in the way. No, they learned something that day. They learned something good that day. As the Pharisees' leaven could corrupt the whole batch, little leaven leavens the whole lump, the bread he gave, the body he delivered up, was life for the world. He would never let that leaven stand in the way of our deliverance. So I say today, join with him in the great cause. And when you're worried and when you're burdened, he's told you what to do. Give it to him. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. I'll carry it. You don't have to carry that. Why are you trying to carry that? Don't do that. It's really hard on you. I'll take that. But remember what this is about. I've come to save. I've come to help. I've come to deliver. Look at my life, says Jesus. To lay down my life in death and rise again so that I would save every last one of my people from their sins. That's what he came to do. That's what Christianity is involved in. Praise God for a shepherd like this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. We ask, O Lord, that you would help us in priorities to keep our eyes focused on Christ. Bless your congregation. Bless these people today. And help us, Lord, to be a people of strong faith, trusting in you, committed to what you have determined to do in sending your Son to this earth to deliver us from our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.